Mix 104 One New England Lifestyles. We've talked about bullying on several occasions here on the radio station. It's something that you don't want to think is out there. You want to think the kids are all really good to each other. You want to think that kids in this age have become, you know, enlightened to accept people's differences. But reality tells us that there is bullying, and bullying happens all over the place. And, you know, it's something that we really have to deal with. And NBC Nightly News recently filed a report about a Wisconsin school district considering a proposal to fine parents over $300 if their kids are caught bullying. Kind of interesting. Joining us on the phone to discuss this and a lot of topics about child safety in general is Stephanie Mann. She's the author of Empowering Parents, How to Raise Resilient Children to Become Happy, Self-Reliant Adults. Stephanie, welcome to Mix 104.1.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for inviting me.
It is it's a big topic. You know, I've mentioned this before. I was a victim of bullying as a kid. Ended up doing some bullying when I figured out how to get out of being bullied, which I'm not proud of. And my own children have dealt with some bullying. Bullying's a big problem around the country, isn't it?
It definitely is, and it's a growing problem. Our schools are trying to deal with it. And to tell you the truth, I'm quite pleased that I think it's Wisconsin, Rapid City, perhaps,
yes,
that has just voted to have fines for bullying in schools. This is a multifaceted problem, and it's not just about the bully. But I'm happy that they have shined a light on this topic, because it's more than just the bully. There are many facets to this. For example, bullies are not attracted to centered kids. Kids that stand up for themselves, they ignore the bully or simply walk away. They're strong enough to do that. And bullies look for the vulnerable, sensitive child that will cry or shrink away or show fear. Was that what happened in your case, that you were kind of a shy guy?
Well, I was a shy kid, and I was, you know, the shortest kid in the class, so I seemed like an easy mark. You know what I mean? And I had to put up with that for a while. Mm-hmm. And then one day I realized that if, you know, and again, I'm not advocating violence, but when you stand your ground and push back, the bully gets the message pretty quickly that this is not a person who's going to allow it. You know what I mean? And then, you know, you get to a point where it's like, well, wait a second. I just realized that maybe I'm pretty tough. You know what I mean? And you get this own weird thing, and there's a lot of things to try to prove to yourself who you are. It's just any kid who's doing bullying, and number one, is wrong. But number two, there's a litany of things in their past which they're trying to overcome, which is coming out the wrong way. I mean, you know, tough relationships with parents. You never know what's behind a bully. That's why I've always thought that, you know, when there have been school districts that had a zero tolerance policy with bullies. And, you know, from my perspective, it's like you kick a kid out of school for bullying and it's just going to get worse for them in life. I mean, there's things you can do to deal with the bully without isolating them even further and making them even more isolated from what normal things should be happening to the world.
Well, you're absolutely right. I've heard a lot about the bullying at home. We have a huge problem of domestic violence. Children see bullying at home. It throws them off center. We also see a lot of problems with kids that don't have a grounding that they need. That's why I wrote Empowerment Parenting, for the simple reason that the spiritually centered child is not bothered by this. Who is bothered by it is a child that is shy and sensitive, very creative kids, kids with disabilities, or, as you said, short or super tall. Anybody can be the victim of the bully. So we have to look at the family unit, and I'm glad we're looking at the family unit, because I have a graphic in Empowerment Parenting that shows the centered child in the middle, the bully off to one side, and I call them the pincushion kids, because they're not victims. They're just sensitive kids that are easy targets. As a parent, you want to strengthen that child by getting them involved in recreational sports, perhaps a choir, or anything to get them out of their shell. Get them involved in neighborhood projects. Get them involved in whatever you can, and find mentors for these children. If you don't have a male figure in the house, ask an uncle to take him under your wing. You want to empower the weak children. The worst thing and the most detrimental, in my opinion, has been the helicopter parents. I know we love our children and we want to protect them, but the minute you start hovering over them and solving their problems for them, it's going to get worse.
No, I agree. And again, if you're just tuning in to Mix 104.1, I'm Mike Mullaney. This is New England Lifestyles. And we are on the line with child safety expert Stephanie Mann. You can find out more about Stephanie and her book, Empowering Parenting, at safekidsnow.com. And yeah, you can also follow her at Twitter at Stephanie Mann, _ Mann. Tell me a little bit about what, you know, the kids... Or let me go back to parents. There was a clip that kind of made the rounds on Barstool Sports this week, where it's a very, very, I think it's like a kindergarten graduation, and the teacher starts talking, and a little boy in the front row uses an unbelievable obscenity and tells the teacher to shut up. And when she says,
guess
you know,
where he learned that.
Well, no, and that's the thing, you know. And then when the teacher says, you're going to have to leave if you're going to talk like that, and he says, you know, shut up, and he used a derogatory term towards women. And then the dad comes and grabs him, and I said, well, the guy who just grabbed him is the guy who taught him that language. You know, it's like you cannot expect to raise a child in a household where you teach and treat people certain ways that they're not going to pick up on that and think that's the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, that's why when I saw the edict that parents may be held responsible, I said, you know something, maybe that's the only way to really get people's attention.
I think you're right. I think we've got to wake up parents and say, you've got to make peace in your own family. You have to be the peacemaker. And if you have a problem, you have to find the solution. If you make your kids weak and dependent, you're going to have them hanging around at age 21 sitting on your couch. And I've heard that story a few times. So it's imperative that you strengthen your children. You rein in the bully. And you strengthen your child that's overly sensitive or has a disability so that they stand up for themselves. That can be accomplished. That's why I wrote Empowerment Parenting, because I want every parent to know your children are amazing. They have their instincts. They have their intuition. They have a self-protective conscience that can keep them safe and healthy. So they have all the inner power, but you need to support that to have strong kids.
You know, we've always been told, you know, watch for signs that your child's being bullied. But a lot of parents don't want to consider the fact that maybe their child isn't the perfect little prince or princess that they think they are. It's not always easy to get a parent to, you know, acknowledge that their child is acting in a way which is incorrect, you know. In the past, we've had conversations with someone whose kids were being overly aggressive, and the answer of the parent is, kids will be kids. What are you supposed to do? What do you say to a parent that's refusing to acknowledge their own child's behavior, which is, you know, not acceptable if it's creating an atmosphere of fear for your child?
Well, I think we all have to speak up about that, because we have families, we have extended families, we have neighbors. We need to have neighborhood support. From people that will, a lot of people are intimidated. They will not speak up because they don't want to have somebody shout at them. I'll give you a quick story. We had a woman that had two boys that were totally out of control in the neighborhood. And they were stealing, they were bullying the kids on the block. They were grabbing, taking down flowers. I mean, they were doing all kinds of bad stuff. Anyway, that one man talked to the mother and she slammed the door in his face. Another one called the police, and what can they do? They can't take care of little kids. These boys were 7 and 9, and then they got together as a neighborhood and said, we've got a real problem with these two boys. They're stealing stuff out of the garage and so forth. And they said, all right, what can we do about this? To make a long story short, they selected two tactful people to go and tell the mother that we don't want to blame you. We want to be of help to you. how can we help you with the boys? And believe it or not, she burst into tears, and she said her husband had just been sent off to prison, and the boys were very upset. And so you don't know what's going on in people's homes unless you talk to them. So some of the fathers adopted these boys as neighborhood boys and took them on trips with their families. So there are solutions. There, we need to come together as a community in neighborhoods and make our communities stronger so that we support each other. That was not a big solution, but it was huge for those two boys because I saw her 10 years later. I asked her how the boys were doing, and she told me, I couldn't have made it without my neighbors because one boy was in junior college and the other was in high school, and they were both doing well.
And that's great because there is solutions. You know, there are ways of getting around it. I think that's a great story that sometimes the strength of the neighborhood. And, you know, that's one of the things that kids can stop bullying. You know, if a group of kids works together, you know, if there's one kid being bullied by another, if 7, 8, 9 of the kids get together and go to the bully and say, you're not going to do this to this kid, suddenly the kid will realize that, oh, boy, this is not acceptable. It's like the strength of the pack can sometimes work. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but it's like peer pressure works in these situations, positively and negatively.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the reasons we had so few juvenile problems at one time, because we had strong, supportive neighborhoods. Half of our crime in our neighborhoods are our own children. And if nobody's out there to monitor behavior or work with the kids or plan a block party or something, because here comes summer. But if nobody and no adults are out there to support kids, they're going to do some bad stuff.
That's true.
You can count on it.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You know, it's kids are always going to push and see, you know, because, you know, the stuff that's, you know, you're told not to do, there's an allure to that. Like, oh, boy, why can't I do this? Is that something interesting? But whatever the case, I mean, I think we're at a stage now, you know, when I was a kid, if I did something wrong, my dad would pull off his belt and whack me with it. You know, now parents are, you know, a kid can call the police on their parents in that situation. You know, we saw it a few weeks ago during the National Spelling Bee where there were 8 kids tied, and rather than come up with different words, they decided that they should have 8 champions. And I said to myself, that is the biggest cop-out I've ever seen. Kids have to learn that not everybody wins. You know, the idea that, you know, when I was coaching, I coached kids' sports for a long time, and they tell you you can't keep score until the kids are 8 or 9 years old. Well, the kids want to keep score. They'd come in after every inning, what's the score, coach? And I'd say, well, I can't tell you that. Come on. Are we winning or losing? I don't know what we're protecting kids from by not letting them know the score. That's one of the most ridiculous things. And keeping kids completely immune from consequences, it's a crazy thing, and it results in out-of-control kids who can't function in the real world. And I think that, you know, bullying's a part of it because parents don't want to, you know, you can't accept the fact that their kid isn't perfect. When reality is very few kids. Actually, the only kid I know who was perfect ended up being crucified.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You know, you're going to love my book, Empowerment Parenting, because I feel very strongly the way you do. Well, we don't want to make our kids into marshmallows because, as I said, they have amazing talents. They have that inner power within them, and we need to bring that out for them.
What do you think the main things that parents need to do? Because here's the thing. By the time a kid's 12, 13 years old, they're kind of set in stone. You're not going to change them that much without really altering how they perceive the world. But you can really impact that at an early age. You know what I mean? When you're a young parent, you want to be a perfect parent and make your kids happy. I think a mistake lots of parents make is wanting to be their kids' friends when that's really not what you're supposed to be. You can be your kids' friends when they're in their 20s and 30s. But early on, you really have to be the moral high ground, the immovable object in their life that tells them how to be, sets consequences, and really helps them develop their strengths. What can we do with our kids when they're small to kind of keep them on the best path?
Well, I would suggest that if you have children and, you know, young children, you have a listening chair in your kitchen or family room, wherever it's convenient. And if, say, two boys in the family are fighting all the time, creating a lot of friction, and they're arguing, have them sit in the chair. The listening chair means that mother and dad, if they're home, are going to sit and listen to the children and have them explain their side of the argument. And then have one child sit and then the other child sit. You'd be surprised how fast they solve their own problems. And then they become friends and they run off and play again. So what you're doing is creating harmony within the family. You're allowing them to express themselves and share ideas, and you are listening to them because that's critical. I know parents are busy, but if you're listening to your kids, they're going to listen to you when they're teenagers.
Isn't it funny how whatever the kid sees in that house, it's like if your kids are yellers, that's because you're probably a yeller. You know, it's like parents, the kid is going to reflect what the parent is. I mean, it's like very few kids are markedly different than the environment they're raised in. You know, it's like if you come from a family where everyone sits around the table, everyone's very quiet and mellow and measured in their responses, I doubt you're going to get some crazy kid off the farm. It's like, you know, when my kids start to yell, I say to myself, well, that's because Mr. Mike sometimes gets emotional and yells. And it's not because it's necessarily out of anger. I'm just kind of a loud person, and my kids are kind of loud. And, you know, it's funny because my wife is Vietnamese, grew up being not that type of person. So it blows her mind. It's like, be careful how you act, because the way you act is going to be extend to those kids. And that's why, you know, in that clip I mentioned earlier in Barstool, where the little five-year-old kid is using obscenities and vicious language to a female teacher, it's like, well, guess what? And your kids are raised in an environment, and you have to be very, very careful about what message is sent in your own home.
Absolutely. Parents are the best teachers for their children.
Or the
they
worst.
Can also be the worst,
yeah.
Worst teachers.
Yeah,
and if you don't curb your own behavior, I think we're moving in the direction of making parents more responsible for their children's behavior, because right now we have an epidemic in suicide,
which
is totally preventable. If you listen to your kids, they give off plenty of clues. We have an epidemic. Well, a new study came out from Johns Hopkins University. These were the researchers, and they found that 4 out of 10 children are not, no, let's see, 4 out of 10 children are thriving. Only 4 out of 10 children are thriving. That means 6 out of 10 kids are not flourishing the way they should as children growing up. We should have happy, healthy homes, and we all have to work on that. We should have happy, healthy neighborhoods, and that takes getting out and meeting people. I would suggest that, you know, here comes summer. Take your children, go door to door and do a little survey. The kids will love this. We've had them do it before. And ask 3 questions. One question is, have you been a victim? What is your biggest concern in the neighborhood, and will you help? And anyone that says, you know, I would love to help bring this neighborhood together and have a safer area for our kids to play. Well, now invite them in for coffee, sit down and say, okay, should we have a block party? Can we have a plant a garden? I mean, there are all kinds of things you can do as neighbors to protect the kids. But you can't just ignore them and let them run the streets.
No, it's true. You know, I feel very, someone once said something to me and it really stuck in my head. They said the best weapon in raising healthy kids is the dining room table. You know, sit down and talk to your kids every single day. You know, have that conversation. Don't eat separately. Spend time face-to-face talking with your kids every day. And it's the same thing with the neighbors. I'm thrilled. I live in a neighborhood where we have a block party every September, every Labor Day weekend. The neighborhood's always out and about. We have different personalities, but we all have joined, you know, wants and desires.
Well, you are lucky.
Yeah.
Because it does take some work, but it is so rewarding. And you need to have a safe neighborhood for every, we all need to have safe neighborhoods for our children, because these kids are growing up like a vegetable garden. Just feeding them and clothing them is not enough. You've got to spend time with kids. And that's why, matter of fact, to tell you how I happened to write this book, I'm a crime and violence prevention consultant. And I worked with the homeless for 4.5 years. And what the homeless didn't know, because we started support groups for them, and these are the 10 steps that the homeless did not know anything about. Nobody'd ever told them they were unique and special, how to handle strength through pain. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. We all learn through pain. And how to handle your anger in a positive way, how to find your center and use your intuition and instincts, and how to take charge of your own life, basically. And they had none of that. They might have one or two, and they knew they had a problem, but they asked me, how do I change my life? And believe it or not, some of our homeless guys got jobs as a result of having these workshops using empowerment parenting.
Well, that's great stuff. Well, again, the name of the book is Empowerment Parenting. You can get information about the book and about Stephanie Mann, who is our guest here today, by visiting safekidsnow.com. Stephanie, I appreciate the time, and obviously it's an important topic. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you, Mike. Thank you so much for inviting me.